Schools are supposed to be a safe place to learn. And although the California Constitution actually guarantees the right to attend public schools that are safe, school shootings have become shockingly commonplace and a nagging fear of every parent that their child could be the next victim. What are California schools doing to protect their children from active shooters? We'll ask Elaine Howe, California State Auditor. Protecting students from active shooters. Are schools making the grade?
Additional funding for the Maddy Report made possible by a grant from The Wonderful Company, harvesting health and happiness around the world. From the California Channel at the State Capitol and the Maddy Institute, it's the Maddy Report with Executive Director of the Maddy Institute, Mark Kepler.
Welcome. Active shooters on school campuses have been in the news with an alarming frequency. Recently, our guest, Elaine Howell, the state auditor, issued a report on whether school districts are prepared to prevent or address such tragedies. Welcome to the Maddy Report.
Pleasure to be here.
So it seems like, you know, we never used to hear about school shootings. Now it seems that they've become kind of, unfortunately, commonplace. What does the state data show?
Right. Unfortunately, both nationally, based on FBI statistics, and here in California, in the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen a real increase in the number of incidents, threats and incidents occurring on our campuses, K through 12 and higher ed.
Yeah, we've been tracking it in something called the Maddy Daily, which is an e-newsletter, and you're seeing more of these things happening in school districts locally. You never saw that before. You're saying that the results also on the national level, you're also seeing more. There have been FBI studies that have shown increase in these incidents?
That's correct. The FBI did a 15-year study from 2000 to 2015, information that we looked at when we were conducting the audit, and it really did show an increase, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, in the number of incidents occurring, particularly higher education, K through 12, the highest percentage is commerce, just industrial area,
right,
commercial areas, but the second highest is K-12 higher education as far as the increase in the number of incidents.
Yeah, and I
occurring.
Did a deep dive into your report, and it shows that 22.5% of national active shooters are in educational institutions, and in California, 27%, so about a quarter.
That's right.
So it's not an insignificant amount. Okay, so state law mandates something called school safety plans. They've
right.
been doing this for some time. Mm-hmm. What are the key components of these school safety plans?
The key components of a school safety plan are policies and procedures for how to react to a particular emergency. A lot of the plans address things like earthquakes, those types of things. They don't necessarily address active shooter incident. But the plans include procedures, they talk about training, drills for students to go through, the kind of information that needs to be shared with teachers. The plans require communication with the public, so parents know,
right,
you know, what the
right.
issues are.
Think about the frightening of a parent
school.
Having to even think about these issues,
right.
Pretty bad. Who's responsible for developing those plans?
There's a council that's put together. Each school is supposed to have a council, which would be the principal of the school, a teacher, a parent representative, another employee of the school or the school district. And that council gets together, works with local law enforcement, and really looks at the previous plan, what do we need to do to update the plan, and comes up with a proposed plan that has to be approved by either the district or the county office of ed.
So I was going to ask you about that. So just the process of how a safety plan is adopted, just kind of walk us through that.
Right. Well, the council, first of all, will look at if there's an existing plan. Hopefully mm-hmm. there is. Some schools don't even have a plan.
It's hard to believe.
Right. But they'll look at that plan, and then they'll receive input from students, teachers, et cetera, mm-hmm. certainly local law enforcement, try to assess the climate of the campus, the school, has it changed?
And when you're climbing, you're not talking about temperature.
No, you're not talking about temperature. You're talking about the mix of students in the school.
Potential for danger.
Potential danger that may be occurring on campus, where the campus is located, those sorts of things. All of those considerations need to be included and addressed when they're putting the plan together.
So when we're talking about active shooters, are procedures for active shooters a required part of these plans?
Up until this year, no, they were not. So they're actually, after this audit report was issued, the member who requested the audit, Assemblymember Rodriguez, authored some legislation that does now require, which will be effective in January of 19, require these plans to consider active shooters and how to respond to those types of situations. When we conducted our audit, that was not required as a part of a plan.
Yeah, and it was interesting, when you're looking at your report, you also talked about the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission out in 2012 made some recommendations about perimeter lockout procedures and interior lockdown procedures. So there's already been some studies on this, on how to kind of best practices.
Absolutely, and unfortunately, the Sandy Hook guidance came out after the incident in Connecticut. But the FBI also has guidance, and you're right, lockdown procedures, lockout procedures, evacuation, that's the best scenarios if you can get away from the school. But there are a variety of different things that schools should be considering when they're putting their plans together.
So I just want to make sure I understand this. Had there been attempts then to require policies and procedures when it comes to active shooters as part of a safety plan, as part of this legislation?
There had been attempts in the past. In previous years, we looked at some legislation. It didn't make it out of the legislature onto the governor's desk. I think because of the frequency and the increase in incidents, it became more of an issue for not only our state but nationally. Mr. Rodriguez authored some legislation. There were some changes to it as it made its way through the process, but it was ultimately sent to the governor and signed, so it will be effective January of 19.
I think any parent looking at their school district would want to have something in place, obviously because of their concerns. Well, up next, we're going to talk more about active shooters. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. We're talking with California State Auditor Elaine Howe about what schools are doing or not doing to respond to active shooter incidents on their campuses. Now, according to your survey, how many school districts did not require school safety plans to include procedures that specifically address the threat of active shooters? And what was the reason for not doing that?
Right. Well, we actually visited about six entities, but we surveyed over 900 entities in the state of California, school districts and county offices of education. About 40% of those actually responded to our survey. Of those, it was about 300.
That's actually a pretty good response rate.
340 some odd school districts and county offices said 14% of those, so about 50, 60 school districts, said they do not require anything in their school safety plan to address either a threat or an incident related to active shooters.
And their reason was?
Well, some of them they weren't even aware of what the requirements were for being in a school safety plan. Some of them said, well, we used a consultant to prepare our plan. They weren't really thinking enough about it. So I think a lot of the districts are reconsidering that particular policy.
One thing you mentioned in your report is that those school districts that have experienced violent incidents, they're on board here.
Absolutely on board. We looked at, again, San Bernardino, there was the incident at the regional center. Wasn't at the school, but it was close enough to a school. And also Taft Unified. And we asked both of those schools, and they said having lockdown procedures, having information that they have taught their teachers, educated their students about, really reduced the effect of the incident and saved lives.
Yeah, very important, obviously. So it appears that the rash of school shootings is beginning to get the attention of most school districts, as we've discussed. Mm-hmm. So what did you find when you were doing this survey then, as you started to talk about this with various school districts?
Right. Again, as I said in the survey, 14% did not have information in their school safety plan, but that means 86% of our respondents did have something in their plan.
That's a good way
to address.
Right.
Right. It's a little more positive. Mm-hmm. But again, even though they had information in their plans, it wasn't necessarily robust. They weren't necessarily providing training to their students, but they are certainly more aware that this is a situation, unfortunately, that we have to be prepared for in our schools in California.
You were mentioning in your report the FBI recommends student and staff training. I mean, you got to know how to deal with these instances. It's like a fire drill these days.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of training related to reacting to an earthquake, get underneath your desk, those sorts of things. Sadly, we have to now consider either a threat of an incident or an active shooter on our particular school campuses and have our students prepared to react.
You know, it's interesting in your report, you cite experts and what they think districts should be doing to respond to active shooter situations. What are some of the things that they talk about? Like, I think you mentioned, for example, lockdown procedures.
Right. There's a variety of things. Lockdown procedures, getting those classrooms locked down, lockout procedures. If there's a way to lock out, if the shooter is on a different part of the campus, let's get some of the buildings locked out where the individual can't even get into that
building. I'm wondering, are they also then talking about how campuses are actually designed now?
I think they are considering. We didn't look specifically at that, but we looked at the lockdown, lockout. Evacuation is your best scenario where you can get out of the situation. If there's also procedures.
In the evacuation procedure, if a police officer shows up on scene and all the students are running out of the building, the shooter could be among those people running out.
That's true. And I think that's part of what needs to be in the plan to figure out when is a decision to evacuate the appropriate decision. Clearly, in all of the training, they talk about if you lock down or you lock out, stay there until law enforcement tells you it's safe to unlock the doors or to even attempt to evacuate.
The other thing is you had this run, hide, fight procedure. Right. So kind of go through it very quickly. What is that?
Right. About? Run, hide, fight is exactly what it sounds like. Run is evacuate. Get away from the situation. Hide is if you're not able to get away from the situation, you've got to close the classroom door, lock it, turn the lights off, hide in the closet, barricade the door, do the kinds of things to try to avoid that individual coming into the classroom. And then fight, and that's last scenario. That's
first,
like
that's
your last. If
right.
you have to fight back against the individual, if they come into your classroom, then you've got to do what you can to try to disarm the person. But clearly, run, hide are the first.
You know, it's interesting when I'm looking at this, and I don't necessarily need a response from you, or you don't have to give a response. But what I don't see here is arm the teachers.
Right. Yeah, and we didn't look at that. That certainly is something that I know has been discussed out there, but that was not something that was recommended by the FBI or any of the guidance that we've seen out there.
It's interesting that the FBI, you think if that was something that would be useful, that the FBI would mention that. They don't seem to mention that.
No, we didn't see it in any of the guidance.
Yeah, so it seems like the way that some of these campuses can be designed, you can actually design them in a way to make it easier to lock down, you know, change the locks on doors, the way the campuses are designed, et cetera.
Right.
So other things you're going to be proactive. So school districts, I'm sure, will be looking at that. Well, up next, we're going to talk more with the state auditor and about why she gave an incomplete to some school safety plans that she reviewed. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. We're talking with California State Auditor Elaine Howe about school safety plans generally and active shooter situations in particular. So generally, what did you find when it came to school safety plans?
Incomplete.
Okay.
A lot of the plans that we looked at did not have, there's several elements, 19 or 20 different elements that should be included in a school safety plan. And when we looked at the sample of plans, we found that a lot of those elements were missing. Two particular, San Bernardino did not have very good plans. And then Taft and Rockland actually did a pretty good job putting their plans together.
It seems like the larger district kind of was missing it and the smaller district was getting it.
Right.
Let's talk a little about specifics. So when you looked at the school districts, what did you find when it came to developing and submitting these school safety plans? Were they meeting legal requirements?
They were not necessarily meeting legal requirements. For example, as I spoke about earlier, annually, they should be looking at their plan and determining whether they need to amend that plan and update it based on incidents that may have occurred or based on incidents that have occurred in other parts of the country.
So it's not something the plan you develop and you know, 5 years later, you're supposed to be looking at it every year.
Right. It's supposed to be annual review and amendment, if necessary, to the plan.
Okay.
You should be communicating the plan to the public. You should be
sharing it. If I can stop for a second, just because I found it really interesting in your report,
right.
0 out of 16 communicated.
That's right.
Not a single.
That's
amazing.
Right. And it's important to communicate to the public, certainly to parents who have students in that school, but to the public at large. And you need to be notifying teachers of certain circumstances. If there's a dangerous student in their class, if there's a student who has had issues, but the community, the teachers, the staff within the school district also need to be aware of what's in the safety plan and get training.
You can't make a plan, put it on the shelf. You got to communicate it out to folks.
Right.
Let me ask you about this. So school safety plan is supposed to assess such things as the school climate. We talked about that earlier, but it's a climate regarding potentially dangerous situations.
Right.
How did school districts do on that point?
Not very well. Again, this is a situation where a lot of the schools were not reviewing climate and they weren't assessing, has the climate changed? Do we have a mix of different students in this particular school? Particularly when, if you have an elementary school, you have new kids coming in, or a junior high school, middle school, you have new kids coming into that school, kids aging out, going to high school. So you've got to reassess your climate on an annual basis and determine the mix of students. Again, if there has been a situation in the region that needs to be addressed,
could be
a lot of things you have.
Influx of gangs, whatever, could be influencing the schools.
Sure.
Which is something that's an anathema. I never grew up with that, but apparently in some of these districts, that's a real issue.
Right.
And you were finding, I think in your report you said 12 out of 16 missed all 8 of the elements of dealing with dangerous climate situations. That's pretty prevalent. So what about procedures about responding to disasters and emergencies? How did the safety plans stack up when it came to responding to disasters and emergencies?
Well, even though the school plans have required them to have information in their plans related to disasters and emergencies, again, we found some of the schools did not have that information, and that's, you know, earthquakes. And California's been prevalent as far as earthquakes for years. Right. So you would expect there would be those kinds of procedures and information in the plan. And for many of the districts we looked at, we did not see that information.
Another interesting statistic I pulled from your report was 15 out of 16 plans were missing anything dealing with students with disabilities.
That's right. That was alarming to us because those are the students that are going to need assistance.
The most vulnerable.
Particularly if you're trying to evacuate or even if you're trying to hide the students and lock down a classroom. You've got to make sure you have procedures to deal with your students who have disabilities that are going to need help from other students or the teachers.
So what are the reasons that they gave for you know, these incomplete safety plans?
Well, again, some of the reasons were they were, we weren't aware of all of the different requirements. We're looking for guidance from the Department of Education. The Department of Education at the state level has a role. They should be providing better guidance. Much of the guidance we looked at from Department of Ed was not sufficient for the schools to be following to make sure that their plans were up to date.
So the oversight was an issue?
Absolutely an issue, not only at the state level, but at the local level, too, the school district or the county office of education. They weren't aware that they should be looking at school safety plans. They weren't even assuring that all their schools within their district had plans, and that's a requirement.
You know, one of the things I thought found interesting in your report also, it's a very interesting report, I encourage folks to go online and read it, is that some of these school districts use generic safety plans as opposed to site-specific plans.
Right, they're using a template.
Yeah,
so they're,
cookie cutter.
You know, exactly. And that may not make sense for one district versus another district. So, absolutely, that's why you have to have that council put together, and they really have to go through the effort of assessing the climate.
Right.
Where is our school located? What's the mix of students in our school? We need to develop a plan that works for our school.
You also mentioned statewide guidance and oversight. The California Department of Education, I guess the Department of Justice are involved. What did you find there?
Right, and as I said, Department of Education, the guidance was insufficient. There was a partnership that was created years ago. I don't remember the exact year. Department of Justice and the Department of Education were supposed to be working together. Our state law enforcement, working with local law enforcement, makes sense, to bring the communities together and really come up with guidance that makes sense. Unfortunately, that partnership has not been actively working for several years now. And Department of Justice told us because they had budget cuts. CDE told us, well, local control funding formula changed some of the money. So they have not been actively engaged in trying to work with schools.
Got to get back on task on that,
for absolutely.
Sure. Okay, well, up next, we're going to talk about some of the best practices when responding to active shooter situations on school campuses. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. We're talking with State Auditor Elaine Howe about school safety plans. So what are some of the best practices that you found?
Well, one of the school districts, that we saw that was really doing a good job, and when we assessed all the elements of their safety plans, looked really good, and that's Rockland Unified School District. They actually have created a template.
And Rockland is where for folks who don't
know? Placer County, Northern California.
Okay.
Not far from Sacramento. But they actually created a safety plan template for all of their schools to use, so it made sure that each school is including all of the elements that need to be in a safety plan. The other thing they do is they actually track, are all of the schools completing these plans? Are they making sure that the plans, so there's oversight at the at the district level.
You've got to have that feedback loop, right?
Really,
you can't
really
just do the
good
plan, you've got to actually document whether it's actually happening. And you said something about Placer County requires districts and its jurisdictions to certify that those plans have been reviewed and adopted.
Right, and that was some information that we talked about a little bit earlier where we talked to the districts and some county offices of ed. You're required on an annual basis to make sure your schools have plans. If they don't, you have to notify Department of Education. Education's never been notified in 15, 20 years. So we put the responsibility on the districts and county office of ed. Placer County requires that certification, so they know, yes, all of our schools in our county.
So parents and districts know, if you want to look for a best practice, take a look at what's happening in Rockland.
Absolutely.
So you made some recommendations regarding legislative action. It sounds like some of those recommendations were adopted, but not all.
That's correct. Some of the recommendations, we had a variety of recommendations for the legislature to consider. The requester of the audit, Mr. Rodriguez, Assemblymember Rodriguez, authored legislation requiring active shooter response to be included in school safety plan. He wanted Department of Education to be surveying schools on an annual basis, to do a statewide survey. He wanted training to be provided to students. Some of that made
it. It sounds like your audit was a great guide to what was in that proposed legislation.
Right. We thought it would would bring all of the information together
so
and really strengthen.
What didn't get in the legislation?
So what did not get in the legislation, I looked at the bill analysis, they deleted the requirement that schools have to provide training to their students on active shooter incidents.
I have to say, that's very surprising, because if you look at the FBI reports, they're saying that's like number one of the hit parade of,
right,
of what
training,
to do.
Training's incredibly important. I don't know why it was deleted. I just have the analysis. The requirement that the Department of Education conduct that statewide survey to make sure all schools have plans.
Again, very important.
Very important information. So sadly, that was deleted from the legislation. The good news is the legislation does require safety plans to include information related to active shooter incidents. But we've got to get the training for the students
and the
teachers.
Maybe they're going to come back and
hopefully in the future there's more.
A little bit. You also wanted state agencies like the California Department of Education and the Department of Justice to take some actions. What did you want them to do, and have they done it?
We haven't seen any action yet, but what we wanted the Department of Education to do is update its guidance. We looked at its guidance. It's dated 2002. So that is ancient.
Because there was a handbook done, Safe Schools, a Planning Guide for Action, in 2002.
That's right.
It's coming up on 20 years.
Exactly. And what we talked about earlier is the number of incidents has increased. The climate in the state of California.
Since then, it's been a spike.
Right. Since 2000. Yeah, there's been a spike just in the last few years. So education's got to update that. Education and Department of Justice need to work together to also provide additional guidance and direction to schools about, security of their buildings, the kinds of things, the types of training they need to provide to their staff, the teachers, et cetera. So, and then if there are best practices, like what's happening in Placer County at Rockland, let's share that with other schools. Is this template something that at least other school districts can use as a starting point? As you indicated earlier, made a great point, you need to specialize it to your specific district. But this template's a starting point for a lot of schools that don't have plans at all.
Right, and they're talking about schools as soft targets. That's why active shooters go there. But you can make them a little harder target by the way they're designed. You don't want to make them look like a prison, but there are ways to design them to make them more safe that probably should be part of that best practice, I would assume. And certainly updating a 2002 handbook.
Absolutely.
It makes
some
sense. I think a lot of people would be surprised about that. So last thing I want to talk about was your recommendations for local school districts. What would you like to see happen there?
Right, and this is the local school districts, again, as we talked about, are required to ensure that all of their schools have a safety plan completed by March 1st of every year. And what we found that a lot of school districts, based on the survey, they voluntarily said, no, we don't have a plan. Those county offices of education and school districts need to make sure that they're monitoring all their schools and ensuring that those schools have a plan. And then when they look at that plan, ensure it includes all of the elements necessary to have a strong plan.
So what we could do then is encourage our audience to remember that March 1st is the trigger, is the date. to take care of this. And so they might want to call their school districts a month or two in advance and say, where are you on this?
Absolutely.
Maybe that's a nice reminder.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I want to thank our guest, California State Auditor Elaine Howell, for joining us. This is Mark Kepler for The Matty Report. Thanks for joining us.
The views expressed in The Matty Report are those of the individuals participating in the program and do not necessarily reflect those of the California Channel or the Matty Institute. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the points and opinions expressed on The Matty Report, visit our website at mattyinstitute.org.